Mike, stop touching my penis.
You know, that would be more fun than what I had to do for that review.
Mike, stop touching my penis. Actually, start touching my penis.
Who disrupts my coronation?
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it!
These babies just saved this lame death party!
Listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am your first host this week. I am Mike the Birdman Daw, but I'm not alone as we enjoy this San Diego Comic-Con themed week, and I'm joined with
Alex.
And that's right, we are here enjoying the Twig Studios in Southern Ontario, Canada, and it actually hasn't been a surprisingly bad week, actually. It's actually been rather pleasant.
Not bad. Now that we've got our air-conditioned cocoons in our houses set up, it's a lot better, because it's about 5 or 6 degrees warmer outside, but it's not death anymore.
Yeah, it's not humid death, although when it's humid death, that means typically we hide inside and we play video games and whatnot. At least that's what I've been doing with a lot of my time this past week. And if you've been following my Twitter and Instagram, which is @BirdmanDodd for both of them, I've been having kind of a downer kind of a week, so I'm looking for something to recharge my batteries. And Alex came over earlier this week, and this is something we're going to talk about on the prototype when we record that, probably on Monday, all things considered.
Maybe, yeah.
We're going to talk about our summer backlog and Alex's challenge to kind of update us where we are with it. And I have some unfortunate news to report. So Alex challenged me to play the Dragon Age trilogy, BioWare's second masterpiece, or its medieval masterpiece, if you really want to
Medieval flavor games.
Yeah, so Alex had me sit down and create a character in Dragon Age Origins, and he's like, all right, Mike, we're going to go to Ferelden, you're going to become a Grey Warden, we're going to go kick some ass, and I couldn't have cared less. However, that being said, after we played the game for about 6 hours, I genuinely tried, Alex found some summary videos for me, which summed up the storyline of Dragon Age 1 and 2, and I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't as dull as I think it is. And I know some of you are screaming, saying, but Dragon Age is so awesome. That's the thing. Me, swords, and sorcery, we either get along or we don't.
And we also found it's a combination of just, you got to have the right headspace. I played it in 2008 when it first came out. So it was not the most advanced engine or system at the time, but it was something that, when I play it now, it makes me think of 10, 12 years ago when I started playing.
Yeah, when I played it, I'm coming into it with a 2018 mindset.
So I figured, okay, well, you know what? And we'll go into details of what we did after this in the prototype. But we found a solution.
Exactly. We did find a solution. So happily, I'm moving on to the Dragon Age Inquisition 3. But once again, we'll talk about summer backlog, and we're going to try and rejiggle this so I'm playing games in my backlog to sort of get my gaming luster back. Because in today's show, I do review a game I'd actually been quite hyped up for. I was hoping would really get me into the racing genre. We're going to be looking at The Crew 2 from Ubisoft. I reviewed that on the Xbox One. But we're also going to take a look at another video game-related property. We're going to look at the video game adaptation movie of the 80s classic arcade game Rampage. That'll be coming up on the show next. Also this week, I've been doing a lot of planning for Cambridge Chronicles, which is the sideshow of Terrible Warriors. And we finally played Alex's World War I game. We got that off the ground running. His baby's first GM.
Baby's first RPG.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I'm rather proud of you. You did handle things fairly well. We weren't on the plot railroad too much. We did make a few stops.
Well, and when we consider, like, this is not just the first time playing recording. It's the first time GMing ever.
Yeah. So you're getting ready to handle the unpredictability of man, so to speak.
Yes.
And unpredictability of me, the veteran role
player. I can predict that you're going to go off the rails. That's what I can predict.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Well, what's that famous quote in war? No plan survives initial contact with the enemy, or whatever, however yeah. how that famous quote goes. So yeah, Alex did a really good job. That should be out on Terrible Warriors and not Terrible Warriors on Cambridge Chronicles
sometime
soon. We're also planning on recording Marvel. We're hopefully this weekend if the weather holds, now that we're in air conditioning and we've got our player base more or less set up. Things are looking pretty good. I'm pretty optimistic to do that. Something you people don't necessarily know is maybe we're planning out Halloween specials. We actually got talking about that. I've been talking about this in the Discord, but also on social media as well. Maybe doing Resident Evil as a possible one. Maybe doing Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is what we're also going to talk about in today's show, because we got a lot of San Diego Comic-Con coverage to go over.
Or Ernest Scared Stupid. No.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I could have him as an NPC.
Know what I mean?
But, yeah, we got a lot of good stuff coming up in the show. We have tons of San Diego Comic-Con coverage. In fact, I guess you could almost call this our SDCC special, more or less. We're going to talk about some of the trailers we've seen, some of the stuff on the ground, some of the controversies that have happened this past weekend, and some of the weirder news that you may have seen. So stay tuned for my first review. We're going to hit things with the ground running with something positive, and that's going to be my review of Rampage, and we'll be back with the news sponsored by LibrisArcana.com. Today we are looking at Rampage, coming to us from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, and this is a video game movie, well, I never actually quite thought I'd actually see. Rampage is based upon the classic 1980s, side-scrolling, I guess you could almost call it a beat-em-up, but basically you play as one of three monsters, Ralph, George, and Lizzie, and you're going across America, literally rampaging, destroying cities, punching out buildings, eating people, punching tanks and helicopters, and it's an arcade game. Get the highest score. Complete like 50 stages. I don't know. I've never actually beaten the original arcade game, but I have played the NES port. So when I heard there's going to be a video game movie adaptation of this, I thought this was frankly going to be beyond stupid. I'm thinking, okay, what are you going to do? So the basic gist of it is it involves genetic manipulation, and there's this project called, I think, CRISPR, and it involves genetic editing. So scientists, evil bad guys, have basically come up with the ability to genetically edit and swap out elements from certain animals and basically change the DNA strand of life itself to take what the best parts are. And this is where we run into problems, because science and playing basically God is never a good idea, especially when you're fooling with the animal kingdom. Enter The Rock, aka Davis, who's this primate who works for the San Diego Zoo, and he has this albino gorilla friend named George. And basically what happens is there's an explosion in space where they're conducting these illegal experiments. The experimental virus or compound gets loose, mutates George, mutates a wolf named Ralph in the woods, and also mutates this giant crocodile named Lizzie. And you get giant monsters. And frankly, what you get is an entertaining movie with The Rock fighting a giant gorilla, a giant wolf. Joe Manganiello shows up randomly and is promptly eaten. And it's a surprisingly entertaining popcorn movie. And dare I say, I will go on record and I will say, fight me on this one. This is a really good video game movie considering the source material. It's not like it's, oh my God, it's so pure. No, it takes the source material that was there, updates it, and makes it fun and entertaining. Plus, you get the guy that played Negan is in this, aka the comedian, also stars as this OGA agent, or other government agency, who basically helps out The Rock and his scientist friend. And overall, I was very entertained by this movie. It's a big, dumb popcorn flick. Don't go into this expecting Shakespeare, but go into this expecting The Rock's charm. And you get to see a giant lizard get hit in the face with a grenade launcher. And I couldn't ask for too much more. Now, the Blu-ray has a bunch of special features. They do have a short one, which is just a little over 5 minutes, called It's Not Just a Game Anymore. There's some deleted scenes, a gag reel, Rampage in Action, which is a little bit longer, which shows some of the direction for this movie, how they did some of the pre-visualization components, whatever. They talk about the monsters, of course, that had to happen. The attack on Chicago, which, in case you haven't noticed in movies, tends to gets its ass kicked. I remember this happening specifically in Transformers, Dark of the Moon, and most recently Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Chicago got its ass kicked. And finally, they talk about bringing George to life, which is how they talk about some of the motion capture and the performance of the actual gorilla. I was going to say ape, but that is not true. He is a gorilla, and that's a different type of primate. But overall, yeah, Rampage, really decent movie. I think you should definitely check it out. Warner Brothers definitely did right by video game movies this year. We had Tomb Raider early on, which I think was actually okay, but I think Rampage was the better movie. So go check out Rampage from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the mark!
And we are back. That was certainly an interesting movie, Michael.
You know what? I didn't expect it to be as good as it was, especially considering it's based upon an arcade game, which literally just get the highest score.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's actually the best kind, though, because it doesn't have a story to work with, or if it has, it's only been expanded through comics or other media. So they can sort of play with what they want. It has a basic premise, and they can build on it.
Yeah, like I said, it was basically Resident Evil mixed with Rampage, and I kind of liked it. So I do recommend it. I really do. So coming up in today's show, the news, we're going to check out what happened with San Diego Comic-Con as it is happening right now. The show should just be winding down as it is Sunday when you're hearing this. Or Monday? Monday? Sunday? Whatever.
It's going to be Sunday, Monday, whenever you listen to it, I guess.
Yeah, whenever you listen to it. Either way, the show is pretty
much getting old. Your podcatcher will pick it up on Sunday or Monday.
So either way, the show is nearing its end or is over, and a lot of good things came out of Comic-Con this past weekend. Myself, one of the more exciting announcements for me, we're gonna talk about trailers, and then we'll talk about some of the controversies a little bit later on. There was a trailer for Aquaman, which everybody thought this movie on paper sounded dumb, because it's Aquaman. How do you make Aquaman cool? Well, first off, you cast Jason Momoa.
True.
And then you go into sort of the civil war with Atlantis and his half-brother and Black Manta. I can't remember what his brother's name is off the top of my head, but I know Black Manta is a very big bad guy, and I think he's in Injustice 2, which is the fighting game for DC.
Sure.
So two iconic villains. I think Hera or Mara, I think, is the redheaded woman from the trailer. I can't remember.
Me likey her.
Yeah, she's very pretty. And I think she's pretty big in the comics. I don't know a lot about her, unfortunately. But the trailer looks gorgeous. It looks cool. It makes the story of Aquaman seem interesting. They even poke fun at the, ha-ha, Arthur's talking to fish, and the fish in the aquarium get pissed and start to help him.
You know what? It's got the right amount of comedy. Like, they're not, with this one, going full comedy.
It's not grim,
but it has enough levity in it to not be this dark, you know, Snyder-looking picture. It has a little color to it, especially when they go underwater. And
it's very bright.
They let Jason Momoa just be Jason Momoa. Like, he's acting and behaving basically like his character Ronan in Stargate. It's basically his character from Stargate and Khal Drogo mixed with his character on Baywatch, and that's Aquaman.
Yeah.
Which is probably why they cast him.
Yeah, he's got the right amount of charisma to be on the screen. He definitely expands upon the role from Justice League.
Well,
and I like it. I really do.
And the big thing is people are like, how is he going to do it all underwater? He did Baywatch for 2 seasons. So he started you know, with really strong swimming skills. So he's going to do all his own stunts, as many as he possibly can underwater.
It's going to look great. I mean, ultimately, this December will be the big tipping point. Will this movie be successful? I'm hoping so. And that's not the only home run. I'm calling this a home run. Shazam with Zachary Levi also came out. And Shazam tells the story of Billy Bastion, who gains the powers of the basically the Greek pantheon. And basically kicks ass. Although, I didn't see The Rock in it.
He's not in it.
He's not in it. It was supposed to be Black Adam.
He pulled out half a year ago. He's too... Think about it. His commitments are to the
Fast and the Furious.
Fast and the Furious, the spinoff from Fast and the Furious. Jumanji, like, 3 and 4, whatever many they're making of that. He's got, like, five different franchises on top of occasionally showing up in WWE, as well as also showing up in these smaller independent action pictures. He's doing like three or four movies a year. He doesn't have time to do it.
Yeah, it's and does he still do that show Ballers?
Yes, I think unless that might have just ended, but he's just too busy. Like as much as it sounds, those movies are too small for him now.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
He's gone beyond it. Like he can carry an entire movie franchise on his own. Let alone he doesn't need to be a bad guy. He also doesn't need to have his own superhero movie. Like, he is so big now, he doesn't need to be a superhero to get a $150 million, $200 million movie.
I don't know who he could play as a hero or a villain. I mean, he would have made a great Black Adam, which I think would have been... which is basically the antithesis of Shazam. But Shazam itself is led by Zachary Levi, who plays the adult form of Billy Bastion, who basically... In short, when he gains his powers as Shazam, he turns into an adult.
He could have been Green Lantern.
Are we still talking The Rock?
Yes.
He could have played Kilowog, but I think the guy they had do the voice for Kilowog worked, but I don't know. He's definitely not a Hal Jordan or a Guy Gardner.
Be better off doing something with Sony, because Sony is the one making all the Jumanji movies.
Yeah,
he would almost be better off doing one of the Sony Valiant comics that they're trying to adapt,
and just pick a lesser known.
Because
character.
I mean, they've already got Bloodshot is Vin Diesel.
Yeah,
so they could have picked a lesser character that they want to just explode.
There was something.
Could he do Exo Manowar? Could he do, depending on what they want to do with the character?
There was something I saw this week. They were talking about how Jason Momoa was in talks to be a Marvel villain. You know who Jason Momoa could have played, and this would have been perfect casting? Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that would
very
have been
awesome.
Very much so. But going back to Shazam, so they got Zachary Levi playing the adult version of him. He has the right goofy, childlike mannerisms of him, like from Chuck. It works.
Yeah,
my God, it works.
And just when he comes to the smoke and everything and just the behavior, it could have come across as hokey with a different actor.
Yeah.
That was inspired casting. I still don't like his stupid monkey ears, though.
His ears
stick out like he's a chimpanzee.
I love it when he gets shot. He's like, I'm bulletproof. You bitches are in trouble now.
Yeah, basically.
Like, there's so much in that trailer to love, and it doesn't need to be dark.
And it looks like they save the... From what I can see, they saved the store clerk, and they must have got a whole bunch of food for free for helping him out.
Yeah.
But they don't take the beer. They just take the candy. He walks out with a handful of candy and soda.
Yeah, and he stops this woman on the sidewalk. He's like, oh, by the way, I'm a superhero. It's fine. And she's like, what? Yeah, there's so much fun in that trailer, and that's something the DC Universe needs in spades is fun.
It's the closest I've seen to Thor, Ragnarok, or Guardians in tone.
Yeah, like, because Aquaman's going to have its light moments, but it's not going to be Shazam light. Is going to be their Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, that, and I could maybe see the Flash's movie being similar. If this is a seismic shift in their tone...
Unless it depends on what story they're adapting for the Flash, because I think... they want to do Flashpoint Paradox.
The real sign would be, like, what happens with Superman and Batman. Like, they'll keep it dark, but do they have to keep it as dark?
Yeah. Like, you could do a story like Public Enemies and have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Which, you can introduce more elements of the DC Universe. Everyone doesn't need a half-hour backstory. Other things that dropped this week, speaking of that...
Titans.
Oh, boy. Where do we start with this one?
Hot.
Fuck Batman.
Hot, wet... Garbage Productions.
This looks terrible. And especially, this is going to be the flagship show that DC wants to rival Netflix.
They want you to pay $8 or $9 a month, American, to get this channel that has cartoons that you can get on other methods for cheaper, just buying the DVDs.
I wonder how long that's going to last, though. Because if DC has their own source, Netflix will likely be Batman Beyond.
They're pulling it. And Canada will still have, like, if Netflix has the stuff, it's different for international markets. So we'll have whatever channel has the shows. But I'm thinking for like $10, you can buy each season of those cartoons on DVD through Amazon or anywhere else. Why would I spend so much money per month to watch them streaming them on their service when all you've got is Young Justice season 3 coming out, which is great. That's something to pull people in.
But
I know in Canada we'll have it on a different channel.
And we'll probably get it on Teletoon.
It'll be Teletoon or YTV that gets it.
Yeah.
And then number two is that show, the production values on Titans, looks worse than Mutant X or like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer 20 years ago.
I think Bad in the Sun Productions, which is people that do that like Green Ranger versus Power or the Green Ranger versus Ryu or Ryu versus Scorpion or whatever.
They look
stuff
about
like
the same.
That. Yeah, it looks like a fan made production. Now the Robin costume I think looks cool.
I think is he Robin or is he Nightwing in it?
He's Robin because he's still Dick Grayson.
Because it's not Teen Titans, they're adult Titans.
Yeah, they're just Titans. They got Robin there playing Robin or Dick Grayson. Starfire, whose design I cannot stand.
It looks terrible.
Like, she doesn't look like the comic character. And I'm all for reinterpreting characters, casting different actresses, whatever. But she doesn't look like Starfire.
Well, and the CG looks bad. Like, all the special effects look horrible.
It's
like,
almost...
Like, not even high school level. Like, high school level 10 years ago.
Well, here's the thing that really bothers me. They have three Teen Titans properties right now. Teen Titans Go, Young Justice, and Titans Now, right?
And then the Teen Titans Go to the movie.
Yeah, which comes out in like a week, I think.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they want Titans to be the anti-Teen Titans Go, which is fine and everything, but with the trailer,
words, and also when they...
Starfire does not burn people alive.
Really, really bad sound effects for crunching of a neck when you step on it. Like, it sounded like a bag of chips.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean,
it's got bad foley, bad lighting, bad cinematography, zoomed in to mask the small size of the sets, bad acting, and they're saying, pay us a premium to watch it on our channel? Fuck you.
I mean, the three characters I think that look okay. I like the look of Beast Boy, because that's a character that could look really dumb, and he doesn't. Raven looks okay.
But super emo. Like, this feels like it should have been made as a streaming thing on, like, if somebody said, hey, in 2009, that Netflix was going to be making their first TV show, I would go, this is what I expect, because it looks like a fan video. This does not look like it has the multiple millions of dollars behind each episode that they're paying for the show. It looks like something community theater would make.
Like, I want to know for myself, because I'm a comics guy, okay, when does this happen? Who are the bad guys? How do things evolve? Tell me it gets better. I'm not expecting them to have the giant T-Titan tower. I'm not expecting that.
Yeah. One of two things will happen with the show. It will get canceled fast, and it will tank their network, which is actually a 50-50 possibility of how bad this is, that nobody will subscribe. Or two, it's so bad, but they can't admit that it's bad, and they'll keep renewing it.
That's what I think will happen for at least two seasons.
They'll want to do 2 years to get enough episodes to put it out. Like, it's probably with 10 episode seasons.
Probably. That is my guess. Yeah. Is they want to do what Netflix has done with Daredevil and The Punisher and Jessica Jones.
They don't, like, they can't. If they say this is a cheap show, I know that it costs between $25 and $50 million to film 10 episodes of a TV show, regardless now because of union dues and law and basically
location.
Just paying, greasing the wheels to get things moving. It's between that now. And like a Game of Thrones is like $100 million. Like the costs have gone astronomical in the last 3 or 4 years. But Warner Brothers ultimately owns DC. and you're telling me they couldn't have anybody from the HBO teams show them how to actually use a camera?
I don't know. There's a lot in this that is a lot of unknowns, and I don't like that.
No.
Because, like, the trailer, when you compare the trailer for Titans to, say, Netflix's Daredevil Season 1, and their trailer, if I remember correctly, was just the fight scene from the hallway.
Yes.
And that was effective.
The lighting was good. The staging of the action was good. The action in this is all zoomed in. You can't see what's happening. That's how you can tell it's bullshit production.
I mean, think about the trailer we saw today for Iron Fist Season 2. The season 1 was crap.
This looks kind of good. That teaser is just a fight with him talking. And the production value on that singular fight looks better than every little bit of what Titans looks like. Not only that, there's no special effects in that trailer, and it looks better.
You know who did the best trailer, I think, for Marvel? The Punisher. When it was set to Metallica's One. And the gunfire was the drum solo.
So which one was that? Was it the first Punisher?
Yes. I think that's the best trailer Netflix has
got. Oh, the Netflix one. I thought you meant the movie. I was like,
No.
No, that's one of them for sure. As far as TV trailers go, the only other one I could think of that was super effective was the original Flash trailer. Was pretty good.
Yeah, the original Flash trailer definitely stood out.
And that's it. Like, there's not a great history of putting out good trailers for these kind of shows.
Yeah, like, it's either going to hook you or it's not.
Powers hooked me, and then the show ended up being crap on Sony.
Which is unfortunate.
Because it was another case of a show where it's like, if we let them swear and say the F word, it makes the show gritty and cool.
Yeah, it makes it edgy.
No, you can make a show gritty and cool without it.
Yeah, it's all about, it's technique and execution. Other trailers we saw today that looked legitimately neat was M. Night Shyamalan's Glass.
Yeah, his own superhero world, because we know that Universal is just hoping to get something in the superhero realm.
Yeah, because now they want their own super successful franchise, and obviously this has been a long time cooking for Shyamalan. I bet you he had this idea sitting on the can one day.
It's one of those things where he's like, crap, all my movies are doing nothing, and Universal's going to drop my contract. But look at it. His movies that cost $40, $50, $60 million or more all tanked or barely made their money back. His movies that have made crazy bank are ones where he gets a small budget. So this is going to be a medium budget picture for him, but the original Unbreakable made like at least a couple hundred million dollars, if not more, on a fairly low budget because it didn't have a lot of special features.
And split did really well.
Yeah, that one cost like $8 million and made $280 or something. So they're going all in with him. They're like, fuck it, he's back. He's back. Well, it's not that he's back. It's he grabbed a property that he was very well versed in, had a big love for, and is moving forward with it. And it looks pretty good.
Yeah, like there's just everything there for it to love. Like, he loves superheroes. You can tell that. He also, even in the trailer, he's like, we're going to do a supervillain team up. Can Mr. Glass speak to the Beast?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that's fucking clever. I like that.
He's literally the man in the chair that can't move because he's going to break something.
Yeah, he's basically Brainiac, which I think is really, really, really
mixed
cool.
With Lex Luthor's intelligence. He's Lex Luthor's intelligence mixed with Professor X's body.
Yeah. Like, I think Glass is going to be really, really successful. I mean, it comes out, what, next year? January.
January. Yeah, so it's going to be a
same time as Split last year.
Yeah.
So that'll be... That's... January's the type of... Is the time of year you put a movie you're not so sure about?
It generally... It used to be January, February, where the movies went to die. But then...
Deadpool.
What changed it initially was there were a couple things that came out, and they didn't do
300?
Great. That was one of them. But then a few years later, Stallone started putting out a couple of his action films around that time, like Bullet to the Head, which didn't do great, but it did well enough. It was John Wick.
Oh, yeah, because that was a February movie.
They put John Wick out, I think it was the first week of February or second week of February, and that movie made a couple hundred million dollars on nothing. Because they tried putting Hitman there and it didn't work, but it was the John Wick movies. Atomic Blonde came out around then.
Yep, Atomic Blonde, I think, was a February release.
There's been a few. Basically, there's one or two action movies they keep putting out in January, February now, and they're guaranteed to make a couple hundred million.
Because
not just because they're guaranteed, but like they're putting out decent films.
Another trailer that we saw today, which I wasn't as interested in until I saw the trailer today, and that's Godzilla King of Monsters.
Yeah.
Which has King Ghidorah, Rodan, Mothra, and obviously Godzilla.
Yeah. We thought we saw Gamera, but it's probably not.
It's probably Mothra. But it looks like a big kaiju picture, just with an American budget. And it looks cool.
And the girl from...
Stranger Things?
From Stranger Things, yeah.
So, yeah, it's the sequel to the Godzilla that came out back in 2015, I want to say.
Something like that,
So it's been a while in the cooker, but that means it's probably going to be legit.
And the talk is it's going to tie over with...
Pacific Rim somehow?
King Kong, for sure.
Yep.
And then probably Pacific Rim. Like, the idea will be, I guess...
The first Jaegers,
maybe? Well, Pacific Rim, people are saying, oh, is it... Why wouldn't they have mentioned Godzilla in the past? I think it's more like... They're in different dimensions and it's a rift.
That'd be cool. Then it'll be just a Jaeger comes over.
Yeah, or a rift opens up, our monsters disappear, and they end up in that world.
That would be cool. You know what would really sell me? If in the end credits, fucking Ultraman shows up or some shit like that.
Well, because these are Universal Pictures.
Yeah.
I know that Dark franchise isn't working for them.
I think they're still trying to do it.
I know they put it on hold after The Mummy was a disaster.
Yeah.
And it's one of the only, if not the only Tom Cruise movie I can think of that tanked. Can you think of another one of his that didn't make a crazy amount of money in the last 25 years?
I'm thinking here. Nothing off the top of my head.
Even if they weren't critically acclaimed, his movies always made money.
I can think of a few Johnny Depp movies that tanked, but...
But not Tom Cruise. This is one of the few that just... It wasn't... It made its money,
maybe
but,
Night and Day, but that was early
2000s. And that still made money.
So, yeah. Okay.
So, this is one of the few that didn't make what they expected.
We saw the trailer for Night Flyers, which is the George R.R. Martin sci-fi series.
Yep, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that looks okay.
I'll give it a go. I mean, to me, everything like that looks like Event Horizon. It's always the same.
I always get a Mass Effect vibe from stuff. Mass Effect meets Aliens. It's kind of the vibe I got from it. What else did we see? Oh, this is something kind of neat. I just showed Alex this a few minutes ago. So Lionsgate and Bat in the Sun and G Fuel are going all in to create a Power Rangers Street Fighter crossover.
I can't believe they got Lionsgate behind it.
Yeah, I know. Like, if at San Diego Comic-Con right now, or just past weekend, you could get Power Rangers G Fuel Shaker Cups. One of my favorite streamers from Team Caliber, Fuya, is there representing Lionsgate and G Fuel. So the Power Rangers sale must have went over really well. And the idea is the Power Rangers Legacy mobile game is having a crossover with Street Fighter. So Ryu is now officially the Ryu Ranger. And he's got, like, the dragon shield. He's got, like...
Does he keep the bandana?
No, but he keeps his belt and his gloves.
I would like the bandana.
It'd be cooler. Looks really cool.
And the other trailer we saw, I was just thinking before I forget was for... The Star Trek Discovery Season 2.
Yeah, Star Trek Discovery Season 2 looks neat.
It looks a lot better visually than Season 1. I had a lot of issues with them saying how this was costing like $10 million an episode, and I was like, I don't see it. But it looks like they've worked out the kinks. The assets are all there. It's going to look really good. How is the plot going to go?
It's like something, there's like a mysterious signal from across 30,000 light years or something.
About finding Spock or something. You know what? I've seen the search for Spock. That's 35 years ago. I've seen it. So,
yeah.
Like, do we need it? I want to like the show, but and I love the visuals behind it, and I like sort of... I have to keep thinking in my head, this is a side story. This in my head, it's not the main canon.
Yeah, it's not Prime Universe.
Even though they're saying it is.
Yeah,
they lie.
No, it's not.
Whereas, I still want to see what's going to happen with the Orville, and they haven't shown anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if San Diego shows something.
Yeah, because as of this recording date, we're recording this on Saturday night, so the Hall H presentations haven't happened yet, or if they are happening, they're happening right this minute.
Concurrently, yeah. So we'll not know until a week or two till they show off what's going to happen in the fall for that, but the Orville was, in my mind,
the better show. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this, though. I mean, there was a lot of neat news that came out of Comic-Con, and we've talked about all the positives.
Yeah.
Now to get to the negatives. So, this past week, a conservative blogger had found out that James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, had made some controversial jokes involving rape and pedophilia a number of years ago on Twitter.
About 10 years or so ago.
Yeah, about 10 years or so ago. And James Gunn had said, you know what? I'm not saying I'm a better person, but I'm learning to be one.
Not to mention that he, in the past, worked for Troma in the 90s as a screenwriter. Like, he is a, you know, black comedy, blue comedy writer. He's always been, you know, they call it, now the keyword is edgelord, all that bullshit. You know what? He has been a guy who pushed freedom of speech and into, you know, dark and twisted territories, because that's what his upbringing was in the Troma film industry.
Yeah.
That's what Troma does, is they go outlandishly over the top in everything. And they're fiercely independent, that they'll even say that. That's where he came from, was independent thought. You can do whatever you want and just go with it. Everything is up for debate and a joke, but don't take it seriously. And yeah. Not only that, this came out before Guardians 1. He apologized. Disney would seem to be fine with it and moved on.
Yeah, I mean, Disney knew this guy. This is the same guy who made Slither.
He made
and
Slither.
And Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, he wrote Romeo and Juliet, which includes, like, rape and a girl's stomach being full of popcorn that she rips open and then rats eat it.
Yeah, like, clearly his humor is, for lack of a better phrase, fucked up.
The fucked up, but it's clearly humor.
Yeah, it's fucked
like,
up.
Like, if you ever were to see him and talk to him, he is, for all intents and purposes, a very open person.
Yeah, and me and Alex have been talking about this for most of the afternoon. Freedom of speech is great, and that's good. And yes, he made some off-color comments, and he apologized for them, and he openly said, I want to grow from this. I'm learning because I want my work to come from a place of passion and love rather than anger.
And it doesn't mean he's going to laugh, and it doesn't mean he was angry when he wrote it, and he wasn't looking to be edgy. It was, that was the style of comedy that he dealt with as a creative screenwriter at the time.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that you're going to be fired for something you did or said. Did is one thing. Sorry. He did no actions that were bad.
Yeah.
You can't be, you should not be able to be fired for something you said or wrote clearly in jest 10 years ago from your current job. There should be a protection against that.
Like, if Disney had a problem with him, sit down and talk with the guy.
They didn't seem to have a problem for two pictures that made them billions of dollars.
And now that, and this is yet another thing, and I don't know where this is going to fall on your political spectrum, Twig listeners, so I'm just going to come out and say it. It seems like the culture of outrage has been weaponized. And whether you're on the left or the right, that's not right.
Here's the thing. There's only extremes now. You know, life is, here's the problem. And it's going to sound politically incorrect. Millennials specifically are my age group. Anybody born in the 80s or later have to realize that life is not black and white. There is not this or this. There is a multitude of shades of gray between. And you can be fluid and through that and be a good person. But it seems to be now you either have to be good on one side or evil. And it's very flipped perspectives on both sides. There is no middle ground. And I'm somebody, if you've listened to me talk, I like to skate between, because you know what? I'm going to be an individual and be who I am. It seems now you have to belong to a group. You must belong to the left or belong to the right. And if you say anything wrong out of turn on either side, you can get fired and have your whole life ruined. Fuck you. You should be able to do and say anything you want, especially if it's a joke. Because as soon as you start restricting people's comedy, jokes, freedom of speech, you become a fascist nation.
As far as I'm concerned, say and do what you want as long as you're willing to accept those consequences.
Yes, but the consequences should not be, I didn't like what you said, so I'm going to lobby to have your job removed.
Well, that's the societal problem.
It's
like I said, we've weaponized outrage culture. And that's
all I say
terrifying.
Is if that's what you want to do with your day, grow the fuck up and move on. There's more serious issues in the world.
Yeah, like one of the issues I've read is the person who outed James Gunn is a far-right conservative who evidently wanted to do this because Gunn is very critical of President Trump, which is true because I have James Gunn on Twitter, who he's now since deleted his account, which is a loss, because he was a funny guy. And he would take fan questions.
And
like
you
that.
Know what? you should not have to lose your job for having an opinion. Or making a joke.
A guy like that, he'll find work again.
Oh, of course he will. And here's the thing. If Guardians 3 turns out to be a hot mess and tanks, that's on fucking Disney.
Yeah, like, honestly, there should have been several conversations had, but in this era of post-Harvey Weinstein and the guy at Pixar who's a douchebag...
It's not even that. And people on both sides will argue the Me Too movement and all this. It's not that. It's people have been for the last, I would say, since Obama's second term.
Since 2012?
Since 2012, there has been this significant movement to, and it's because young people have grown up and become young adults. I think people have been coddled. My personal opinion, people have been coddled so much that when they hit the real world, they're not prepared to deal with real world issues. So their solution is we have to band together and argue about mundane shit that doesn't really matter. And you take away the message from serious issues. Like these things that we're arguing about.
We're talking about movies.
Movies. And are arguing about movies. They can only exist in this first world problem, I say in quotes. If you go to anywhere else in the world, you know what people are more concerned with? Eating.
Yeah, surviving.
Having you know, basic human rights, right to live.
Yeah, not getting shot for not wearing the right color shirt.
You know, being able to go to a hospital and not just dying. You know, like getting penicillin. Like, the vast majority of the world has much bigger issues than this. Problem is, we've grown up coddled to a sense of where we never have to worry about our safety. So you latch on to certain issues and make them bigger than they need to be because the internet has provided the ability to do that. Doesn't mean I don't think you should be allowed to voice your opinion. I just don't think that your opinion should have that much sway. Even my opinion shouldn't have that much sway.
It's definitely not a situation that I'm a fan of.
It's tough, and it's pissing me off that these people are only trying to make entertainment for you to take away those issues that you might have or give you a reprieve, and you're going to police their thoughts.
Yeah, not a fun time.
He'll end up going somewhere else where they'll give him. You know, Sony or somebody will give him crazy amounts of money to make something cool for them now.
It
won't matter.
Or he'll retire because he's made his fortune.
Or he'll go back to trauma.
Yeah.
You can't tell me Uncle Lloyd won't touch him.
Yeah, exactly. Uncle Lloyd will be like, hey.
Uncle Lloyd will be happy because Romeo and Juliet, the one that he penned, is the only film they've ever had that had critical praise. Right? Like, they actually won awards and critical praise. So he'll tout him everywhere.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens next in the saga of James Gunn. This one, I would consider this controversial because the response online I've seen has been mixed. So this past weekend, Joss Whedon, who has had some problems this year, to say the least, has announced to The Hollywood Reporter that he's going to be rebooting Buffy with a as-yet-uncast black actress. In the continuity of the original series, and the cast will focus more on diversity.
In the continuity of the original series?
So somehow, they're going to tie together.
So it is tied, it's called Buffy. Only issue I have with this, I'm not a super fan, so I'm okay with you bringing it back. A full reboot I'd have an issue with, because what's the point? People know the story now. Like, reboots are lazy, but big issue I have is, is his casting solely, and is the creation of the show solely based to get him off the hook for some of the issues he's had? Like, is he casting a black member to be a cast member solely because of how it will make him look, or does the role need it?
Well, a role should be blind.
Neutral.
Neutral,
but,
exactly.
But the way they're coming out saying, with black lead, yet unnamed, it's not a case of he cast a lead who happens to be black and then they announce we have a lead, but they're going with the race as the reason for the casting?
Yeah,
I have questions about.
Yeah.
Are you making a show based around a black cast lead because you want to look good in this society? Or are you... I don't know. I've got too many questions about this, and I feel there's motivations behind it that aren't really just and true.
Yeah, like, I want... a cool Buffy story, whether it's a black actress, an Asian actress.
I don't care who the actress background is.
I don't even care if it's a transgender person.
I have a problem
whatever.
With you announcing it's a black lead without even casting the person yet.
Yeah, like, show me what this person can do. Show me a script. If it's important, I don't know, maybe it's a role model thing. Because women have been looking up to Buffy for 20 plus years now.
But again, I feel like he pitched it to them and said, hey, you want some good PR?
Want some diversity cred?
Yeah.
It sucks. That movies and television shows are getting cast and made on diversity. And I'm not saying diversity is a bad thing. Absolutely not.
No. But you're gonna have people on that right that you're talking about before that are going to go and be pissed off regardless if you cast a black or white or any. If you cast a black person, they'll be pissed. But the fact that he's announcing it's a black person, I feel like he's going to be targeted next.
Well, I guess he already kind of was over the whole
casting couch stuff.
Yeah, the whole casting couch problems that he had earlier this year. I mean, ultimately, Buffy, I love how it's a story about powerful women.
Yeah.
I love how it's a story about diverse casts, because I remember Willow was the first gay character that I can remember clearly seeing on TV.
Me too, I think. Now, the only thing with this is, did you notice something about his shows?
They're all the samey?
It's not just the samey production. I can get producing a show that has a similar feel. He casts the same he doesn't cast characters. He casts archetypes that he likes. So every show has the same type of character in the same type of role. So it's the woman who does this, the woman who does that, the man who's the sidekick. That's every show he does is exactly the same.
Kind of like how Wash is basically Xander, so to speak.
Yes. He's not a very good writer, but he gets all this praise because he was one of the first guys to have the banter.
Yeah.
And small talk, which he gets right, but he should not be a showrunner. He needs to be a writer on a show.
Maybe executive produce?
He can, I hope.
Because I know the woman who's producing this, I want to get her name here.
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't have his hands deep into this.
He has some input, but it's the main person who's putting this behind is a person, I'm looking for her name right now, Monica Breen, and she did stuff with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So the show's going to be shit? I hate that fucking show.
Evidently, Breen will be one of the major creative voices on the series. Her other credits include Lost, Fringe, Revolution, and Midnight Texas.
See, those are all pretty good. It's just, I don't know, I have a feeling the show's going to be very samey to the original. And I don't want it to be drastically different, but I also don't know, why don't they just get Sarah Michelle Gellar? She's not doing anything. Why don't they just...
I think she's being a mom.
But then why make a Buffy show? Like, what is with this reboot within 20 years of a show being out?
They're out of fresh ideas. And that's one of the common complaints that I've seen, too.
And why do you think everybody's flocking to HBO and Netflix and streaming services? Because normal TV just turns out to be, like, they churn out the same stuff now over and over again. Which is why it's nice seeing a reprieve when a new type of show comes out.
Yeah, like, I'm very interested to see where this could go. Especially because you look at where we are now. Basic cable, or premium cable, has AMC.
No, sorry. Basic cable has AMC, which is basic cable means ad-supported cable.
Okay, so we get shows like The Walking Dead, Preacher, Supernatural.
Supernatural's on broadcast.
Okay, it's on. But
yeah, but yes. In Canada, it's on basic cable. Yeah. Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make is, you look at how far the storytelling, the special effects, and everything else has come.
Basically, now, you have Walking Dead, Breaking Bad. And maybe a few of the FX shows to thank for that.
Yeah. And I look at what could happen with the Buffy series.
Buffy was announced for FX, I would be much more interested than if it's going to Fox again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Because it's being produced by Fox 21
Studios.
Sorry,
it's Fox 21. So it's not going to end up on FX. It's not going to go to the CW.
No.
It's not going to go to... It might be on Fox, but if it went on FX, it wouldn't be the worst thing, because they could have a little more freedom. It doesn't mean swear like crazy, but it means show more gore. Not that it even needs it, just they wouldn't have their hands tied as much.
Yeah. Like, for me, I'm excited for possibilities, especially now, because, like I said, with a cool Slayer, I mean, we've seen a black Slayer before, Kendra.
It's
even the first Slayer... In the lore of Buffy, was an African war goddess or something.
Which is fine.
Which is cool.
Would you not question me if I was an executive producer and I said, oh, I've got a new TV show coming out. By the way, it's a remake of something, something, whatever the show is. And it stars a black and Asian persons as the leads, but we haven't cast them yet.
It makes me think of that joke from Roseanne earlier this year, and I know that's a terrible example.
Yeah.
But do you know the joke I'm talking about? Oh, it's the show where we watch the black family and the Asian family have problems.
Oh, surprise, they're just like us.
Yeah.
But and that was interpreted wrong. The interpretation, that was one of the funniest jokes on there. The interpretation from that was they were poking at all the executive producers on TV like Chuck Lorre and those guys, where all they do is give you the same story and then just go, hey, but it's nerds. Hey, but it's black people. Hey, but it's Mexicans. And it's the same jokes, just told with a different ethnic background or a different status background. They're lazy and don't try new things. So that's what the joke she was trying to tell was.
Like, I'm hoping
But people took it as, oh, she's being racist. Now, personal life aside, in the show, that was not a joke that was a racist joke. That was a joke
to
an observation making fun of how bland TV is. Basically, it was also a jab saying, hey, look, every show out there is trying to copy what we did 20 years ago, and we're back and we're doing it better than them. So that's what the joke was, but people took it wrong.
See, one of the things, like I said, ultimately, what I want this Monica Breen producer person, yeah, if she has major input, give me compelling characters. If you're going to go for diversity, which is awesome,
yeah,
give me a really interesting character
here's
who
the question.
Is diverse.
Why do you feel like you have to say is awesome? It just is. It's just we're so afraid of saying the wrong thing nowadays.
Well, no, is it the fact that I can't... I'm not as familiar with some of the diverse characters that exist, right? Like, I know there's gay superheroes, there's transgendered superheroes and whatnot. I can't name a lot because I'm not in... I just don't know.
And ultimately, in my mind...
I can name Willow.
Here's my thing. I agree it should all exist, but you know what? I shouldn't care. They should just be characters.
If it gives a community an icon, cool.
Which is fine. But it shouldn't be your sole focus to market your show is, hey, look at what we've got, parading it around. If it's a part of it, it's a part of it. And if it's handled well, it's handled very well. And off the top of my head, I can't think of other examples, but I do know there are shows that exist where it's just blended in and that's just a part of everything. And they don't make a point of being super duper overt over it. And it just works.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I guess my thing is I want positive examples.
DC's... Legend,
Batwoman's gay.
Well, Legends and Supergirl have LGBT characters, and there's plot lines around it, but it's not like overtly in your face.
It's just
there,
a part of the show,
and they're handled well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested to see what could come out of this, especially with modern issues.
So, I mean, the show could be good, but you know what I think would do best for them? I think the whole serialized thing is played out, unless you're doing it on like Netflix or something where you can get whole blocks where you don't have to wait week by week by week. People are impatient now and they don't want to wait every week for a new part of their story to continue, which is why people were burnt out with like Riverdale, because the story was taking so long to go through. If they were smart, they might have a storyline that happens in the background. I think they should do episodic where there's a different issue every episode. If it's going to be on traditional TV, if it's going to be on a network, then do whatever you want. Like, do it on the streaming network.
I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with it, because I know the landscape of television has changed so much. The culture has changed so much.
It sucks.
It's different.
Like, I mean, the people just stop being pissy and just enjoy what's out there. And don't look for something to hate. That's, I think, I have the problem with people. It's like, don't be looking to be offended.
I want great stories from great
yes,
people. That's
exactly
what I want. And I want people to have role models to look up to.
Absolutely. Just don't go into things wanting to hate it. And if you sound negative and we're talking about like Titans and that, I'll be negative about production values left and right. And I will bitch and complain and moan because we are past that nowadays with bad production values. But I will always give a show a good shake and watch. I didn't think I was going to like Krypton, and I really liked it. and I'm waiting for season two. There's a lot of shows where I've, you know, if I rag on something like, I really didn't care for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I keep trying to watch it, and I still fucking hate it. I still think it's terrible, but I don't hate it because of a message it says. I just don't like it.
Yeah. It takes a lot for me to hate something, I think. I like to think on this show I'm the bastion of positivity.
Oh, and I try to give everything benefit, but if I hate it with a seething passion, I will say
it. If it sucks, it sucks.
Yeah.
So, anyway, guys, that's going to do it for this extended edition of the news. So we'll be back with what happened in the world of weird, bizarre, and the just plain fucky. We'll be back here right on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
The just plain fucky.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
Welcome back to Twig, the flagship of stupidity, and of course, it wouldn't be This Week in Geek without the weird, the wonderful, the strange, the just plain friggin' weird. Let's get down to it. As Alex, what would I told you? What would you say if I wanted you to drink skeleton juice?
Is it lime Ricky flavored?
I don't know, but it smells terrible. So, do you remember in the news a couple of weeks ago, they found this 4,000-year-old black granite sarcophagus. They don't know who was in it.
Okay.
So, they found this sarcophagus, and just recently, it was unearthed, and they cracked it open. So, inside, they found a couple of skeletons, and inside they found this vile green, or this vile red-brown sewage water, which apparently smells to high heaven.
Was,
so,
do you think it was wine?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually, but it would have evaporated over thousands of years.
Not if it didn't break.
I guess if it was air-sealed? I don't know.
Or is is it going to move and then turn me into the mask, or into some sort of weird symbiote hybrid?
See, I'd like to know because you know what? I've seen this movie before, and it doesn't work out too well for the fucking human. Unless it's the mask. So, according to this, there's a video game developer. I love this. Video game producer, sorry. Innes McKendrick has put together a petition to let us slurp on its decomposed contents. Addressed to the king of skeletons, Egypt. We're guessing who are our new overlords. We need to drink the red liquid from the cursed dark sarcophagus in the form of some carbonated energy drink so we can assume its powers and finally die. As of this recording, the petition is currently up to 8,427 people.
I thought you were going to say 700 million people have signed this thing. They want to drink the blood of the overlord or something.
According to this, he goes on and says, one person asked the user, why? He says, well, don't let it go to waste. So speaking to the Metro newspaper, he says, the discovery of the black sarcophagus in Alexandria sparked interest the world over, and amongst friends it was immediately picked up as a symbol of hope. People were actually given an opportunity they're often denied in recent times to picture a brighter, more optimistic future into which the earth is blighted, torn apart, and consumed piece by piece by the hands of furious, immortal Egyptian gods. The potential to unleash this curse upon ourselves by opening the sarcophagus offered a degree of control over our lives in which the current political and financial climate were so often denied. So the fact that he wishes to basically unwrath, basically Anubis, the goddess of death. I don't know whether I'd drink the brown death sewage water.
Why wouldn't
I'd
they
sell it?
Why don't they test it first?
Well, it's not going to tell you if you get superpowers. You know how many comic book fucking movies start out like this?
No, it won't tell you that. Well, is your superpower just getting really bad tummy ache and dying?
Maybe.
Or
but maybe you gain superpowers.
But if it's 5,000 some odd years old, whatever disease is in there will have immunities to it.
Maybe and maybe not. Because it would be an earlier form of the virus.
I'm pretty sure, didn't we just see this in Tomb Raider?
Yeah, and people like evaporated and died.
Yeah.
We didn't have immunities to it. So if you want to drink the death sewers water, be my guest.
Would you want to snort it? Make it go right to your brain?
Maybe inject it?
Or would you use it
I want to know if there's some T-virus crap.
I
want to
marinate a steak in it.
But that's so funny that someone started a petition. Like, although, I posted to this radio station's website about this because they're like, should we open the black sarcophagus? No, 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 and no. That thing, if anything looks evil and like it belongs in like the fucking Alien franchise, black sarcophagus, black granite sarcophagus. If I ran a Call of Cthulhu game, would you open the goddamn thing? No, well, no, you wouldn't.
Here's the thing, though. I was going to say, is it all like the embalming fluid they took out of him? But no, that would be gone. It has to be some form of wine.
Or maybe it literally is sewage leaking in. I don't know.
No, it was in the vials when they, or in the containers when they opened up.
Yeah, like here, I'll actually show you a picture of what I'm talking about here. Let me bring it up there. See?
Yeah, smells bad, don't it?
Yeah. So it could be sewage. It could be who God knows what, but still, ew.
Yeah, no.
Still, I want to see a full lab workup on this. I'm curious.
Yeah, it's probably...
And you know some lab tech's going to go... Like, he's going to touch it with his tongue.
I think... Yeah, maybe.
And then he becomes, like, Imhotep or some bullshit.
What if it's, like, mega cocaine?
Mega cocaine.
And you're just like, it's I love that cocaine, but it doesn't, like, raise your heart rate or anything?
I don't know. I want the powers of a furious Egyptian god. I just don't know if I'm willing to risk death over it. But then again, hey, that's the price of immortality.
Yeah.
So what do you got this week?
There's a baby born at Chick-fil-A. So basically, long story short, a family was inside of a Chick-fil-A because they were dropping off their other children with some friends before they were going to the hospital while the mother was in labor. And she decided to go to the bathroom and gave birth in the bathroom floor.
Oh.
And there's a quote from her saying, "Oh my God, I can't believe this is my life right now." She had a baby on the floor of a Chick-fil-A. So I guess it wasn't a Sunday.
But say, well, yeah, we've definitely established what her birthday isn't. So what else has come out of this? Like, is Chick-fil-A going to do anything for them?
Chick-fil-A is, well, offering Chick-fil-A for life for the child, as well as, I don't know what that means. It's probably like...
Coupons, maybe?
Once a week, you get to go there for life and get, like, a dollar off. I don't know what that would mean.
Maybe, like, a meal or something?
Yeah, but they're also offering when she turns 14 to give her first job, which 14, isn't that 2 years younger than what's legally allowed in most states and provinces?
I guess to be a server or to work the front counter, it's not that big
a deal. I think you can touch cash until you're 16 when you're bondable.
I don't know.
Maybe it depends on the state you're in, too.
I was going to say, what state did this happen in?
The state that it happened in is... I'm trying to figure this out because the article didn't really say. Born inside a Chick-fil-A, San Antonio.
So, Texas. So, I guess their rules are a little different.
Probably. Also, they wrapped her in a newborn's, like, I guess, jumper suit.
Yeah.
It just says Little Nugget. But they're also offering to cater a fully Chick-fil-A first birthday party, which I know they will cover. Because they say when she turns 14, are you telling me the manager in 14 years is still going to be there and go, "I promised you a job 14 years ago when you were squirted out all over the bathroom floor"?
See, I'd like to know how corporate's going to honor this. But honestly, if they do keep on to this for the next 14 years... That's going to be a nice feel-good PR story if they happen to get in more bullshit.
Oh, also, on top of that, all I can think of is bathroom floor in a fast food joint. Dirty. Forever unclean, baby. You are forever unclean.
Is that a story you'd ever tell your friends? I was born on the bathroom of a Chick-fil-A.
It depends on how white trash you are. or like, just dumb hick you are. Yeah, born on the bathroom floor in Texas. Really? Yeah. Like, not even, like, where it's somewhat sanitary. Like, bathroom floor. I mean, it wasn't a Taco Bell bathroom floor. Or, no, it wasn't...
A Del Taco or something?
No, it wasn't like, you know, you blew yourself out all over an Arby's. Like someone we might know.
If you know who we're talking about, good for you. You've been a fan for a long time.
Aquaman. Anyway, yeah, at least it wasn't an Arby's, because that would be bad.
I'm trying to think. If I had to be born on the floor of any bathroom, I would say McDonald's, because they're fairly clean.
Depends on which ones. But
depends on which ones. Depends on the manager on duty.
If I was to be born on a bathroom floor, I'd want it to be at, like, a hotel. Because they clean them all the time. And I mean, like, the front lobby ones, where they clean it to make it look great when you walk in.
Well, I'd say the bathroom of a Toys R Us, but they don't exist anymore.
And I mean, it's actually fairly common if somebody can't go, like, in a winter storm or something, or it's really, like, during the ice storm, if you were giving birth, you couldn't get to the hospital.
Yeah, it just happens.
You just happen in a bathtub, warm water or whatever, water birth. That happens a lot more than you'd think.
Yeah, because you watch that show, Call the Midwife, so you have a pretty good idea.
Even back then, but even now, that is, people do home births a lot, so... Hopefully your own home's cleaner than but I mean, Chick-fil-A. I mean, at least it wasn't KFC in, like, a seedy part of town or something.
Like, as Blair calls KFCs in seedy parts of town, ghetto Mick gets shotville.
Yeah, because, like, you'll go to a part of town that doesn't have any banks, doesn't have anything but like...
Bars on the windows?
Bars on the windows, but they'll have themselves a Taco Bell or a KFC or a combo of both of them.
Because, hey, everybody loves that tasty, tasty food.
Yeah.
So that's what we got for the weird and wonderful this past week. We're going to throw things over to Satan's Pantry. And finally, my review of The Crew 2 from Ubisoft. We'll be back here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig. It's inedible.
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry as we decide to walk down the international, or some might say interdimensional, aisle of your grocery store, where likely we find stuff from hell beyond our alternate dimensions. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. I am joined with...
Alex keeps looking at me without pointing, and I don't know when it's my turn.
And I'm the man with the untwistable stomach, Emperor Wayne.
That's right. And in this week, we decided to try something... Not hot and spicy, not chocolatey, but something a little bit sweet.
A little
candy.
What
are we trying today, Alex?
We're trying, we're trying European licorice, specifically Dutch licorice. So I'm going to open it up here. I've had this before, so I want to get your guys' impressions. I already know what to expect.
It's not black licorice, is it?
It is, but it's different.
I don't like black licorice.
You say that.
I hate it.
Take two each.
Okay.
And take a whiff before you eat it.
It smells like... fucking feet.
Looks like a tit.
All right.
I'll pop it in.
Yeah, this is going to taste exactly like fucking black licorice.
Put it in your mouth.
Ugh, I can't chew it. It's like eating a car tire.
Oh, these aren't what they thought they were.
This is rubber.
I thought these were the double salt ones. And they are the saltiest things on the planet. But instead, these are just the normal licorice without the salt on it. So it's like garbage. Here, Blair, you can have the rest.
This is fucking terrible.
Nah, I feel kind of ripped off.
Oh, it's the bad ripped off. I was hoping to get, like, horrible. The salted ones are so strong, you can't possibly take it.
Why would people eat that?
Poor showing. Just, ugh.
Because they do.
But, so, this has been disgusting. I've been the Birdman. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody. Just
if you,
yeah, I'll get something
disgusting.
If you rearrange
the words on this candy, it spells coven. Because I'm only very sure that witchcraft could make this.
Yeah, pretty sure.
I thought they were Dutch salt licorice, but it wasn't Dutch salt licorice.
All right, so we'll be back next week here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity, with something that hopefully won't make us puke, hopefully make us smile, but. This was just disappointing and disgusting.
Oh.
It's stuck in my teeth.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it out.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, you're not. Don't fucking lie to me.
You surprise me to how shit you are.
We are looking at The Crew 2, available on the Xbox One from Ubisoft. And this is a game that I had the pleasure, you might say, of reviewing recently. And this is a game that actually had me quite hyped up because you got a chance to fly planes, you had motorbikes, you had cars, you had boats. You can pretty much do anything. The world, or in this case America, is your playground, and you can explore it any way that you want to. And open world driving games are not a new thing, and The Crew 2 definitely tries to do something new with that formula, and kind of succeeds. Basically, you're put into the role of a driver who wants to make a name for themselves in this pseudo GoPro sponsored event. It's not really GoPro, but whatever. You're trying to gain social media followers, which helps you earn money and sponsors. You can unlock basically higher cars, more motorbikes, more planes, more boats, whatever. All sorts of neat stuff. And ultimately what you get is kind of bland overall. Now, there is a co-op part to this game, but I don't have any friends that played this with me, so I can't really review that. I did see one person in the open world at one point. I remember that very specifically because you can encounter other people, and I saw one. He was driving across the desert doing donuts. That's a thing. And it's kind of neat because there are like street races. You can do freestyle flying. There's like motocross type thing and like off-road rally type stuff. And it is cool how you can drive technically from Miami all the way across the country. I remember starting in Miami, and I think I got as far... I got fairly far north, but I can't remember specifically where I was driving to. I was using the motorcycle, which is where I had the most fun. The addition of the game I had the Harley Davidson unlocked. And that was actually a fair amount of fun. Although I did encounter a really weird technical glitch with this game, and I'll explain what I mean. I was playing with an Xbox One Elite controller. Now, if you have your triggers set right in, where basically you can snap in for like Call of Duty or Halo, if you have that in, you can't get above first gear. If you disable that and your trigger pulls are more nuanced, you can actually get into the higher gears. I didn't figure that out for like a day. I was wondering if there was something wrong with my game. No, it's a controller issue, and I never thought I'd ever run into that. So that's a thing. And it did overall impact my experience of playing. Once I figured it out, I still wasn't having a great time with this. I found the enemy AI to be incredibly dumb. I found just not a lot of challenge to be had overall in this game. And I guess I was expecting something a lot more exciting because the trailers made this game look awesome. And I just got a lot of busy work. Just a lot of do this, do that, the other thing. Get more followers. You can unlock this. And I didn't care. And I think with a racing game, that's probably one of the worst crimes that can be committed against you, because you're supposed to want to unlock these new vehicles. You're supposed to want to do the next race. You're supposed to want to do this, that, and the other thing and be excited and be engaged. Here, I just didn't care. And maybe it's because I don't like open world driving games. Maybe that's the problem. I'm used to something a little bit more, I guess, segmented, so to speak. And that's not to say there aren't segmented parts. It's like, hey, do this street race in Vegas and do this, or do this part in Colorado or whatever. But here, the crew too, it doesn't engage. I found it kind of bland, kind of boring. I think maybe after a few patches and Ubisoft adds more stuff into it, maybe improves the enemy AI and just adds more to this game, I think there's potential here. But overall, I'm going to say if you can give this game a rent, maybe, but definitely do not pay full price for The Crew 2. It is not worth it, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know what to say. That sounds like a terrible game.
And you know what? I think it had such promise, and I was excited to play it for about the first hour, and then I just never got that excitement that I wanted.
You've been getting sort of bad luck with a lot of the games you've been reviewing, and I mean, some of the ones I've thrown your way when I've got them from our contacts, and then sometimes you get them, but I don't know, you just haven't had the best luck lately.
Yeah, I don't know, and I kind of wonder if it's just because of the games that are coming out during the summer drought, if that's just the way it is, because you don't put your AAA titles at this time of year. Or what? Or
but then Octopath Travel came out. We didn't get a review copy. I got a copy myself, and I've been playing that. I got like 30 hours, and I love that little title. So you've got a couple that are coming out, like Diamonds in the Rough, but almost nothing is put out at this exact time of year that's worth it.
Yeah, like I can't. The next game I'm looking forward to is Spider-Man, and that's in September.
And I've got Dragon Quest again the first week of September, and then I think we've got Starlink after that.
Starlink, Call of Duty for me, which is October.
And Pokemon, which is November now.
Pokemon, Fallout, which I'm surprised the beta hasn't happened yet.
And Mario Party.
Yeah.
So everything starts the first week of September. We've got almost nothing. I mean, I'm not saying nothing. There's other titles coming out, but not highly anticipated titles.
Yeah, there's nothing where you're going to go, oh shit, I got to pre-order that.
But at the same time, some of those titles that we may get to review will be pleasantly surprised with.
I'd say the last game I had a real amount of fun with, and I really want to play through it again, but I can't find my disc for it right now, is Detroit Become Human, because I got, in my opinion, the best possible outcome. So I don't like playing through games and making stupid choices on purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, purposely, I'm going to let this person die.
But you know what? There are many playthroughs, and I had a hard time letting people die. I told myself, after restarting certain checkpoints two different times, that after that I would just let happen whatever happened, and I lost the big black dude. I can't remember his name now.
Yeah, same here. I let him die. Henry, I want to say?
I let him go, and I didn't want to, and I was like, screw it, I'm moving on.
Yeah, he died for me while I was escaping...
The house?
No, not the house. When I was escaping the boat.
Oh, he made the boat for me. He just didn't... He got captured and was executed while trying to hit the bus terminal.
Yeah, I didn't get the bus terminal. I got taken to the concentration camp.
Oh, God.
And had my skin ripped off.
You had the bad ending.
Oh, yeah, but eventually the little girl got away.
My little girl got away, but I sacrificed myself at the border.
I sacrificed myself. I got shot in the back, and I had 15 minutes before I bled out. And the game's like, you got 2 minutes. You better make your choices. So yeah. I told her to run away to the garbage dump.
Did you get Marcus's good ending?
Where he sings?
Where he wins over the people?
Yes.
Yeah. I got his.
And then my dude Connor was going to shoot him, but I broke my programming and didn't.
Yeah. Now, did you get Connor's good ending?
What happens at his?
The police officer lives. He lives. And after the credits roll, he goes and meets him at the hot dog stand, and they hug each other.
No, I didn't get that.
So you didn't get the police guy to love you like family.
No, I did, but he died.
Oh,
bad Connor shot.
Okay, so I was able to save him, and then he's like, go on. Like, he completely changes his attitude towards robots, obviously. Yeah. And at the very end, like, instead of being like a cold asshole, he just walks up to Connor and they hug each other. And then they walk away shoulder and shoulder, you know, like partners.
In mine, when he's dying, he's like, Connor, I'm going to go see my son.
So that's not the great ending. I got the good one. You got the okay ending.
Yeah. I got a satisfying closure.
Yeah.
And like I said, I cannot recommend that game enough. I think it got a lot of bad slag because it was a certain type of game. And because a lot of people compared it to Beyond Two Souls and Heavy Rain, which obviously the guy did make, Detroit's his best game.
It's the logical evolution of those titles.
Yeah. So I really recommend you check it, playing it out. Now,
it's basically the PlayStation's version, without the shooting mechanics, it's the PlayStation's version of Quantum Break in that style of gameplay.
That very cinematic.
Which I loved both of those titles.
Which I found out recently, and this will be a bonus news story. Evidently, Remedy wants to make sequels to Quantum Break, and there's another title, or Alan Wake.
Yep.
And Microsoft's like, nope.
But they own it. Does Microsoft own the title?
Microsoft owns it.
And they won't.
And
let
I
them?
Want a Quantum Break sequel.
So maybe they make a new title in a similar vein and fuck moved it to Sony.
I don't know. I would certainly buy it.
I believe Detroit did make its money back.
I hope so.
Because I know Sony invested in it, so I don't think it's a loss regardless for the studio.
I wouldn't call Detroit a system seller, but I'd call it an essential library.
It lost its PR momentum when they had some issues where people were claiming issues at the studio, and it was proven wrong.
Yeah.
The culture is toxic. It was toxic to two people who were foreign workers from the States that didn't even work and understand the culture of French culture. So you don't get to go to another country and expect them to change for you. That's not how it works. And then also, when you find out that the people they contacted in the French press were discredited and have lost lawsuits before based on falsehoods they've printed. So, but the damage was done as far as Sony being able to do a big push in the States for it.
Which is unfortunate, because I...
And it's still sold well. It just didn't have all the ads that you would have expected in the big push.
Yeah. Like, I think it's a fantastic game. I'll personally recommend it and stand
absolutely.
By it.
Absolutely. It was worth the full price for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, guys, coming up on the show next week, Tristan will be back with us. We'll be doing yet another roundup of what happened in the weird, wonderful, the strange, the hopefully inspiring. And we'll be back right here on Twig. So until next time, we have been...
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd. Have yourselves a safe and happy San Diego Comic-Con weekend. And as always, live free or die hard.
Hey, kids, that's enough for one night, eh?
You know, I don't think this show is suitable for children.
I don't think this show is suitable for anybody.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear something like this.
Insert a clip here, you dick.
Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at @twig_official_podcast. If you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
We now join America's most popular show already in progress. Everybody loves Hypnotoad.
The loudest footsteps on the planet.